Hey guys, this is Sam, and you're listening to the Facing the Sun podcast, the show that helps shine a light on building a better you. Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of Facing the Sun. Today I'm joined by Kevin Palmieri, and I'm super excited for you guys to hear his wisdom. He is a rock star podcaster and podcast host, has an incredible business, and we really dive into all the slices of the pie in this one today. Entrepreneurship, self-love, relationships, pretty much anything and everything for someone here. So I hope you guys enjoy it and let me know what you think. Hi guys, welcome back. Super excited for today's episode. I'm joined by Kevin Palmieri. Did I say that right?
You did, Sam. You crushed
Perfect.
It.
I'm on it. Perfect. I'm super excited for you guys for this episode. Kevin is awesome. We were just chatting before we started recording, and I think we're going to get along just great. Kevin, how are you today?
I am doing very well. Yeah, I would say our energies are very similar, so I'm excited to chat and see where we go today.
I know, it's going to be great. Tell me, give me the Reader's Digest of Kevin. Where are you from, where you are now, what you're doing?
Kevin Palmieri is a man who started with humble beginnings. He was raised by his mother and his grandmother. He didn't meet his dad until he was 27. He job hopped from job to job to job to job until eventually he found podcasting. Now he is the host, co-founder, and CFO of Next Level University, a global top 100 podcast with over 1,000 episodes.
There we go.
Reader's Digest.
Perfect. Tell me about your podcast.
So we have a podcast called Next Level University, and our goal, our belief, our through line, our mission is to bring holistic self-improvement to the masses. We want to put self-improvement in the pocket of every human on the planet every single day for free. So we do 7 episodes a week. It is definitely a lot, but I really believe we have the best community in the world. You might think a tattooed bodybuilder would attract men. Most of our listeners are women and humans who identify as women. So I've learned so much about that and about vulnerability. And I'm just blessed to be able to do this for a living, because at one point this was my ultimate dream. So I'm very blessed.
I love that. I'm going to pick your brain for sure, because you know this podcast is very new. So I'm really excited to have someone of such stature on an episode. Tell me why, what got you into holistic wellness? Like what inspired a podcast with that content?
I was a 6-figure earner when I was 26. So I made $100,000, but I burned myself to the ground physically. I burned myself to the ground mentally, emotionally, spiritually. I burned all my relationships to the ground. So I think I had a very important thing happen to me in my mid-20s. I had my midlife crisis when I was 26, and that's the best thing that could have happened to me. So I found success, and I realized that that wasn't the version of success that I wanted. And I think at a deep level, you know, I've done a bodybuilding show and I was in the best shape ever, and I made money that I never thought I was going to make. And I've had amazing relationships that actually weren't amazing. So I realized that I had kind of failed in health. I have failed in wealth and I have failed in love. And the only way to have the life of success that I want is to get really, really good at all of those. And then we realized that there's not a lot of people talking about all those things. And at a deeper level, and I don't mean this with any ego, there's not a lot of people who are practicing all of those either.
For sure.
And we saw a lot of that where we would interview people, and we've interviewed so many amazing people and we've had amazing mentors through the podcast, but oftentimes somebody would say one thing and then be something else. And I want to practice what I preach, and I want to be the person that I claim to be. And that's something that I'm very passionate about. And I try to live my life through that lens every day.
I love that. I think you are so correct when you say a lot of people talk the talk.
Yes.
When it comes to doing the actual work, not a lot of people are walking the walk when it comes to stuff like this. So what are you doing to walk the walk?
Every single day. So I track all my habits. Our entire team does, which is wonderful. And I have 22 habits I do every single day. I don't miss. Very rarely do I miss. Even I got married a couple of weeks ago and I still did.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. I'm very blessed. I did all my stuff while I was out in Colorado. And so that's a part of it. And I think the hardest part of it is I've just tried to become so self-aware and look in the mirror every day and realize, oh, I don't like the way I reacted there. Mm-hmm. That was my ego. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things is my wife said this to me one day. She's my fiance at the time, but we were talking about inclusivity And I realized that I just have so many blind spots when it comes to other humans' experiences, because I'm a white male in the United States of America. All things considered, I have it pretty good, right? So I changed the intro to our podcast from ladies and gentlemen to Next Level Nation, because I realized not everybody identifies as a lady or a gentleman. And I think it's important to be more inclusive. So I've just tried to do a lot of the hard work internally, because I believe ultimately that's what helps us do the hard work externally. Eventually, definitely takes time.
I love that. I think that's so true. One of the things that kind of the path that I'm on and that a lot of my listeners are on too, is we're like in the beginning steps of this spiritual and holistic awakening. And like, I can see why it's so important, and I feel and I resonate with that. But if you could give advice or like walk someone through that where they want to get started and they know they kind of need something, but they're not sure really where to begin, what direction would you point them in?
I think the easiest thing is just to start asking why. That's what worked for me is, okay, today, just as an example, like imagine this story. Today I was at work and blank came up to me and complimented me and I got really nervous. Why? Oh, okay. Because I know when I was younger, I used to get complimented and I'd never believed I was beautiful. Okay, why? And that is the best place to start, because if you do that a couple times, your mind's going to tell you to stop. It's going to be like, no, I can't think anymore about that. Yes, you can. You can push through that. But Maybe you only get one or two or three levels deep, and then next time you revisit. But I think of it from the aspect for me of, why am I so afraid of failure? So my biggest fear is failure. Why? Because I attach success to my identity. Why? Because I've always been an underdog, raised without a father, raised pretty broke. Okay. Why am I an underdog? I like to be. Okay, why? Because nobody has high hopes for me. Okay, why? And right, and you just continue going down that, and you get to the point of like, oh, am I treating myself like an underdog because I like the attention it brings? Interesting. Mm-hmm. So that's just a, you know what I mean? So you can get really deep, but you got to make sure you're taking your time. And one of the things, and I'll give this as kind of a disclaimer, you can get too much awareness at once, 100%. So make sure you just dig a layer at a time, test it out. You don't want to realize too many things at once, because that can be very, very challenging and very, very painful. So avoid that if you can.
I am fascinated by this sequence of why. I can tell that you have walked yourself through that question of why quite a few times.
Many times.
I love that. I want to dive into the idea of attaching your value to your success, because I was that way for a very long time. I wasn't really able to get out of the zone of, oh, if I'm not making a certain amount of money a year, I'm not successful, or if I'm not doing X, Y, and Z, then me just existing as a person isn't enough. Like, I need to be doing all this other stuff. So what were some things you did or things you kind of talked yourself through to help get you or were able to separate your value from that performance?
Great question. Very, very deep.
We like it here.
I know. I love it. Just for context, the first podcast I had, it was called Hyperconscious, Acutely Aware. So that's where this all started for me, is like, I need to know everything about myself. So that's why I'm jamming. This is awesome. I love this. For me, I believe it was an interesting understanding that I don't think I ever really had self-worth. I think all I had was the results that I would get. And that's why it was so moment to moment of, I did well, I'm awesome. I didn't do well, I suck. That you have to figure out how much of your day-to-day happiness is results driven versus how much of your day-to-day mood is fulfillment and aligned driven. So this is my analogy. If this podcast goes well, I will be happy. Regardless of how well this podcast goes, I am fulfilled and in alignment in the process. Mm-hmm. So for me, that was the understanding, is failing at something does not make you a failure. It doesn't mean you're intrinsically bad. It just means you didn't have the right approach this time. But also on the other end, right? I have to stay humble. Do I have 1,000 episodes of a podcast? Cool. Awesome. Great. Am I better than I used to be? Cool. Awesome. Great. There is so much work to be done still, and there always will be. So usually from my experience, people are just off when it comes to their level of self-worth. They believe that they're either less valuable than they are or more valuable than they are. And they live their life through kind of that frame. If you believe you're more valuable than you actually are, not intrinsically, but just the ability to add impact to the world is what I'll say. You're going to assume you don't need a coach, you don't need mentors, you don't have to do things in a certain way. If you're under and you don't think you have any self-worth, you're not going to think you deserve a coach. You're not going to think you can succeed. You're going to be in negative relationships because you don't think you deserve better. So it's such an interesting thing when you start to understand yourself, because this was very weird for me, Sam. I had an ex-girlfriend text me the other day.
Oh.
And we're friends. It's nothing.
Okay. It wasn't bad.
No, nothing bad.
Okay.
But she said, hey, can I pick your brain on something? And I knew the second she texted me, I knew exactly what it was about. I don't know if it's intuition, but she said, like, how did your relationship happen? Mm. You just got married, and I know that you had broken up with this person in years past. And I was like, okay. So I walked her through everything that happened, and I sent her an audio, and I said, I mean this with all the love in the world. You have to tap into your level of self-worth. This is what's happening to you. You're not filtering out what you should. So you're attracting negativity into your life, and your self-worth filter is off. So it's not getting filtered out. It's getting accepted. That's why you continue to attract quote unquote toxic people. You're always attracting that, but usually the law of attraction works correctly because your level of self-worth is there. And that little breakthrough of her understanding herself, that can help her change her awareness and then change her behavior accordingly.
Fascinating. I think that that is something that people get stuck in a lot in relationships, is just being able to set a boundary and say, I actually don't want this for myself. And I need to be brave enough to speak up and say, this is actually what I want. And if you don't fit the bill, then love you so much, want to see you eat, just not at my table.
Yeah.
Thing. But I think that a lot of people are scared to hurt feelings. And then that, like, if they're, maybe they didn't get to practice their voice when they were younger as a kid, speaking up for what they needed. So then being able to set that boundary with a romantic partner is incredibly difficult. I struggle with the exact same thing in a lot of my past relationships, and just being able to stand in your value, I think, is a skill that a lot of people don't have that I think a lot of people need.
Mm. I think part of it too is, and I don't know, from what I've seen and definitely what I've experienced, this rings true for me. I don't think people are always afraid to lose love. I think they're afraid to lose people.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the people in our life, it's not that they're there because they love us. They're there because they hold space. Yeah. And we're afraid to create some sort of void, because I think we subconsciously realize, oh, if I'm alone, there's going to be a lot of work I have to do. When people say go be alone after a relationship, they might as well say go reflect after a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard to reflect upon who you are when you're in a relationship, because you're different when you're in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that weird give and take of sometimes you have to be alone in order to figure out who you are. And then when you figure out who you are, you can change who you are with somebody else.
But yeah.
You have to, it starts with you. It has to start with you.
Definitely. And I think there are some certain things that you can really only address when you're in a relationship. So that's a kind of a catch 22. Like, yeah, I want to be this way in a relationship, but then you get into one and it's just like a whole different ball game. But I think that the time for reflection, I went through a breakup this last summer, and it was like a huge opportunity for me to reflect on like who I am and what I want and what I need in a relationship. And I was really terrified to be alone for that very reason, like, because they were just such a huge part of my life. And I'm like, well, if they're gone, then how do I fill this space, right? How do I fill this void? And I learned like those daily habits, huge in like changing how, the way I operate, the way I want to be, and really what's important to me. And I'm kind of curious of your 22 habits. What
like
are
that.
They? What do you do every day?
Yeah. So we have them broken up into health, wealth, and love. So under health, I exercise at least 30 minutes a day. I meditate. I weigh myself every day to make sure the weight's going the right way, depending on what we're doing. I track my calories every day, Monday, so it doesn't matter what day it is. I have a very good relationship with that too. So I'll put that out there. I've been in fitness for a long time, so I understand it's not that way for everybody else. Under love, every night before I go to bed, my wife and I play the gratitude game. So one thing we're grateful for about one another.
I love that.
It's like the main love thing, but it's also, I'm trying to improve a little bit every day when it comes to relationships. So I try to focus on her love languages. I try to focus on what she appreciates. Today I got her a mocha iced latte when she was sleeping. When she got up, I had a little heart sticker on it in the fridge. Like,
wow.
Just just stuff like
Love it. Yeah.
And then under wealth, every single day I track the business finances. Every single day I listen to at least 30 minutes of something self-improvement. I try to learn something new every day. I build relationships with potential clients. So I live my life in a spreadsheet pretty much. And that wasn't my doing. My business partner is an engineer and he's a genius. And he said, you want to be successful? And I said, yes. And he said, okay, cool. This is how we get to the level of success and impact that we want to have. Are you in? And I said, I trust you, sir. Let's do this. So I can't take credit for that. That was him more than I, but it is definitely something that I've grown comfortable and accustomed to. I think a lot of people run from structure and becoming an entrepreneur, there was no structure and there was no results. And when structure happened, results happened. So I think that's an important step for sure.
I think that's a huge, huge thing for people to remember. So I'm an entrepreneur as well, started a digital marketing agency when I was 23. And I am a very like routine regimented person, but I created this cycle where I would have routine, loved it, got so stuck in it that I felt the need to blow it up because it was too boring. And then I'm like, oh my God, I crave structure again. So then it was like this terrible cycle, right? So then I had, I don't know if you like did your research enough, but like I had that battle with cancer. And so I had stage 2 uterine cancer and had a hysterectomy in January. And lots of things get put into perspective when you almost die, right? But I was like, this is not serving me, this self-destructing pattern of like creating so much structure that I have no room to breathe. And so while I think structure is important, what do you do to give yourself like some leeway or some reprieve when that structure, does it ever feel suffocating to you? Like, do you ever feel like this is too much?
So yes, 100%. Every day I feel that way. And this is important. My ultimate goals are to have the most successful podcast in the world. So it's almost like, Kev, too bad. So just for context, Sam, this week, I'm doing 35 podcasts this week.
Wow.
That's just 7 days. And that's not counting the gym 7 times. That's not counting. So, but that's what it's going to take for me to get the level of success, impact, and profitability that I want eventually. For me, it's different. But one thing I do, and this is one of my habits under love, self-love, every single day, I take at least 30 minutes to fill my cup. Whether I'm a huge fan of mixed martial arts, maybe I watch a UFC fight. Saturday, there's big fights on. I will spend from whenever the prelims are until 2 a.m. watching.
One of them is in my town that I live in Salt Lake City.
It is. Yes. Yeah. This week.
I live a block away from where it's happening.
There you go. I'm on my way.
There you go.
The family.
Doors open.
Family. But that's, I think that if you can do, and this is the interesting balance. Yes, you can do productivity consistently, but can you fill your cup consistently? That's the name of the game. Is I might work, 12 to 16 hours a day, depending on the day, but I'm getting 7 hours of sleep and I'm getting a half hour of my cup filled. And that to me is sustainable, but it all depends on what your ultimate goals are. That's why I never say like, you probably, not you, but the collective you, you probably shouldn't be tracking 20 habits, right? Mm-hmm. You probably shouldn't be doing 7 episodes a week. It depends on what your ultimate goal is long-term.
Yeah. And I think that being aware of that ultimate goal and what success looks like for you is so valuable and so important in life. I think a lot of people get stuck in comparison, like thief is the comparison of joy for sure. And if I were to do that with you right now, like there's no way in hell I'm doing 7 episodes. Right. Day right now for this podcast. That's ridiculous. I do not have the time, but that's also not my goal right now, right? Like just completely separate paths. But the beauty of the collective consciousness and like human connection is I want to talk about how you got your podcast to where you got it, because I know that that knowledge will be beneficial to me, but I'm not going to be like, I need to be there right now.
Yep. 100%.
You know? And so I think a lot of people get stuck in, I want that, but I need to be there right now. And they get lost in the projection of what they want their future to be instead of just sitting in the present. And I think it's so valuable to be able to be present in a situation like this.
Can I offer a reframe?
Absolutely.
I do believe toxic comparison is bad. But I think if you can compare with a level of awareness that, to your point, if you compare where you are today to where I am currently, then yes, that's toxic.
For sure.
If you compare where you are today to where you used to be, I think that's positive.
Absolutely.
And I think a lot of people get lost in social media land or whatever it is. So I agree with you. I think a lot of people, but if you have the awareness to understand, well, okay, Kev's been doing this for 5 years. 5 years from today, I could be in a completely, that the details are important when it comes to comparison. If you don't have the details, then it's definitely hard to actually do it.
I 100% agree. And I think that it all comes down to the concept of self-awareness.
Yes.
And I think that that's the big missing piece for a lot of people these days, is they just want all these things, but don't really have the self-awareness to like logically get there and give themselves the space to get there.
Yeah. I think there's so much distraction, right? Like when do you have your best thoughts? The collective you, maybe it's in the shower. Why? Because it's probably one of the first times throughout the day that you're not listening to something. What I'm convinced, and I don't know if this is a law or if it's proven through science, but one of the reasons people struggle to fall asleep at night is because it's the first time they're actually with their own thoughts, right? That used to happen to me. I used to have to put, if I wanted to fall asleep, I would have to put something on my phone as well as something on the TV. For some reason, if you have two things going, I don't think your brain can like work. I don't know why, but I would always fall right asleep. But I think it was because I'm listening to music in the gym, I'm listening to music in the car, I'm watching TV when I'm at home. It doesn't give much space for your brain to actually reflect. There's just too many distractions. So to your point, while technology is amazing and it gives us the opportunity to connect across the United States, awesome, it also requires a new level of discipline to not get lost in the sauce, as we say, so to speak.
Amazing. I have never thought about that before. And I am so guilty of that. My alarm goes off in the morning. I meditate now in the morning and do yoga, but I'm listening to a meditation when I'm, you know, in the morning, and then I'm going straight into work and being at my desk and listening to music and doing podcasts and listening to music at the gym. And then I go to bed and all of a sudden it's quiet.
Yeah.
So would you recommend people, you know, blocking out some time in their day to truly just be alone with their thoughts before they go to bed?
Yeah. I think meditation without anything is great. I think you just putting in earplugs, like I sleep with earplugs, which is a game changer.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. My business partner, he's like the productivity guy. Like he has it all. He knows it all. And he's like, hey, you should start trying. I've been using earplugs for the last like 5 years. He just said to me one day, he's like, that might help you. And I was like, okay, where was this? And he's like, well, when you were ready, I figured I'd give you the advice. It's like, all right, cool. So my wife and I started using earplugs, and it's like, it's hard if you have anxiety, because you not being able to hear things can definitely make things nerve wracking. But I cannot sleep without them. It's just, I bring them on the road with me. I bring them when you have to have them. It's a game changer.
Fascinating. I live in the middle of a downtown city and my house is very loud. So that might need to become a thing for me.
It's worth a try. It's worth a try.
Listen, I'll try anything once. I'm all about that. All about that. Awesome. I love this. I have a question for you. One that I ask all of my guests whenever they come on an episode. If you could give yourself a piece of advice to the version of you 5 years ago, what would it be?
Oh boy. Let's see. I had a very, very fixed mindset 5 years ago. It might not seem like that now. I might seem very confident. I'm not. I just have a lot of reps in this arena. I would say, Kev, although this would be the advice. The way you think and the way you live now does not have to be the way you think and the way you live forever. It's everything is malleable. Your brain is a giant piece of clay. You've just been shaping it into the shape it is now, but you can change that. And your future can look drastically different in 5 years. 5 years is a very personal number to me because that's how long I've been doing this. So
yeah.
5 years ago, I was not anything like this. I would not be on the show. You and I wouldn't be talking. So yeah, a lot has changed in 5 years, and it can for everybody who's willing to look in the mirrors, to do the work.
I love that. I think that's so important. One of my favorite like things or quotes or like things to remember is you can decide when you wake up in the morning that you want things to be different. You don't have to wait for anything to happen. You don't have to get permission from anyone else. You can wake up tomorrow and decide, I don't want to be like this anymore, and be something entirely different or do something entirely different. And there's a lot of societal pressure, I think, to perform a certain way and act a certain way. I mean, I broke the mold a lot, you know, as I was coming up into what I'm doing. I mean, I grew up in a very religious household, and now I'm not religious and spiritual instead, covered in tattoos, like don't have any kids, don't have a family. Like that just was never the direction for me, but very different from the environment that I grew up in. And so that's so powerful to empower people to realize that they truly are like the captains of their ship, and they can change whenever they want to.
Yeah. We are the authors, and we let a lot of people edit our books when they're not writers. They shouldn't be able to. And my thought on this is always, when I was young, and when I say this, I don't mean any negativity towards anybody, but when I was young, I assumed teachers knew everything. Cause like, you're teaching me, I assume you're you know everything. And I assumed doctors knew everything. Like, you're a doctor, you're like so smart, you've studied the body, like you know so much, I don't.
Right.
But as you get older, you realize like everybody knows what they know. It doesn't mean they know everything. And it definitely does not mean they know what's best for you. There are very few humans that actually know what's best for you other than you, because they don't know what you're thinking before you go to bed. They don't know what you're thinking when you're struggling. They don't know what you're longing for, and then you haven't told anybody yet. So it's so important for you to, number one, surround yourself with people who genuinely want what's best for you, regardless of themselves, but can also actually add value to what's best for you. A lot of people want what's best for you. Sam, I want what's best for you.
Of course.
But if I am a scarce human being who doesn't believe in my own self, it's going to be very hard for me to say, yeah, go start that company. Yeah, quit your job. Right? Like, it's very hard to give what you don't yet have.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have belief in your own goals and your own skills and your own competence, it's going to be very hard to subconsciously and consciously pass that on to somebody else.
Wow. So powerful. Kevin, thank you so much. This has been so fun. I cannot wait for everyone to listen to this episode. I think it's going to be extremely impactful. And we will drop the link to your podcast as well, so we can just be synergistic there. But I really appreciate your time. I really, really do.
Likewise. This was truly, truly wonderful. And you are a great host. I'm very glad you started a podcast, because you're going to crush it.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you guys so much for listening. I appreciate you. If you want to keep up with all the happenings, be sure to like, follow, subscribe. You know the drill. You can also find me on Instagram at samadams7 and find out more about the biz at sunfloweragencies.com. That's SNFLWR agencies.com. Thanks, guys.